Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Michigan Mobile Musings, a podcast from the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan, MTAM for short, hosted by Melissa Burney. Erie Hack 2017, Innovation Around Our Great Lake, was an engineering competition that brought together coders, developers, engineers, and water experts to generate solutions to Lake Erie's biggest challenges. Erie Hack finalist, Purely, has an initiative to connect residents, restaurants, and charities to promote water conservation. Their plan is to track residents' water usage with restaurant discounts or promotions. Joining me today is Rohan DeSica, co-founder of Purely, to discuss the experience of participating in Erie Hack and the creation of Purely. Welcome, and thank you for joining us, Rohan. We're so happy to have you here. And congratulations on being a finalist in the recent Erie Hack competition. I understand
Thank you very
that
much. I'm really happy to be here.
Oh, you're very welcome. I understand that you created the project Purely, which is a mobile app that will encourage water conservation with simple rewards. Can you give us an overview of that project?
Yeah. So what we're doing is we're creating a synchrony between four main players: residents, local businesses, governments, and charities. So residents, who are going to be the main user of our service, will receive promotions to their local businesses if they reduce their water usage. Local businesses will, you know, increase their sales as we act as a strong marketing platform for them. For governments, we help reduce wastewater treatment and water distribution costs. And lastly, for charities, we're going to be donating a portion of our revenue to important water work they're doing, so they'll be benefiting as well. Ultimately, what we're trying to do is leverage water data and incentivization to bring attention to the value of water.
Sounds like a fantastic product. Can you tell us why this was an issue that the Purely team felt was important?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, in the last couple of years, we've all heard about problems in California, in Flint, and there are countless other places in the country where there are water problems that really don't make the headlines. But even looking globally, you know, like 1 in 10 people don't have access to clean water. That's almost twice the population of the United States, which is crazy. So living in the Great Lakes area, you know, we've all seen the effect of abundance of water, and people that we've talked to, you know, in Michigan, in Illinois, in nearby states, really don't know where it comes from, don't know how much of our lives and industry are dependent on it, or, you know, how much they're paying for it, how much they use on a daily basis. Effectively, you know, the water utility is a black box, and we want to be able to shed light on that as a resource and utility and effectively show essentially how valuable of a resource it is.
It is indeed very valuable, and we are blessed definitely here in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So who launched the Purely idea, and how did it come about?
So the four of us on our team, you know, we've known each other for over 4 years now, and we got together one day to brainstorm ideas to work on in a few months back, last December. And we noticed that a lot of our ideas stemmed from sustainability, and we're really connected by that. But, you know, we were in the same boat where we didn't really know a lot about water as a utility. So we, you know, did some research. We, you know, as we dug deeper and deeper, we realized that there's just a huge industry and we're so dependent on it, but not a lot of that is known about it. So that's why we decided to dig deeper, do some more research, you know, and help other people who are in our boat, you know, sort of learn more about the industry as well.
Can you tell us a little bit about how Purely works?
Yep. So when a user signs up, we take permission for us to access their water data from the city. So we don't collect any data, but we use whatever the city is actually collecting. And when they log in, they'd be able to see their water data for the month, for the year, how they stack up against our community of users, a personal goal that they can set for themselves if they're trying to, you know, reduce their water usage, and even compare themselves against the county average, because we have there's data collected for all that. A cool feature that we're planning on adding is how a user would be able to see if how a lifestyle change would reflect in their water usage. So, I mean, that's our entire goal. How can you reduce, you know, your shower time or your washing dishes time, and how is that going to affect your monthly water usage over time goes? So they would be able to see, you know, instead of showering for 15 minutes a day, if they shower for 5, how that would change their total water usage and how they can effectively reduce and see numbers for how their water usage would decrease over time.
So in a way, you're kind of helping educate people on their water uses and what its impacts are, correct?
Exactly, yep. And we're hoping to do that through showing them data on how much they're using, how they're comparing to other people around them, as well as giving them a lot of incentives on, you know, sort of promoting to reduce their water usage.
Wow, that's so cool. So can you help our listeners understand how someone saving water at home is going to help someone else get water? Can you kind of tell us a little bit about how that connection is being made?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's something we get a lot. So the connection is being made right through our charity portion. So when a user here saves water, they automatically support our charity initiatives, which in turn is going to help a lot of people in the country and around the world. So when we are, you know, doing our customer discovery process, when we're talking to a lot of people about how they should be reducing their water, this is something that came up a lot. Because there are a lot of packs where, you know, like when you save water in your area, your water is not being transported somewhere else. It's your effort and your money is going to be transported somewhere else. So that's where we're trying to connect that gap between you and a charity and how your lifestyle change is actually going to impact someone else through us.
Okay, that makes sense. So will Purely have a specific impact on how people use water or how much they use?
Yep. So, I mean, our aim is to do exactly that. So, like I said before, we want to bring awareness to the value of water and reflect that in how a person lives their life. So when we ask most people how much water they use in a day, like, you know, they have no idea. Even I didn't know before I started working on this. So by incentivizing them to reduce their water usage, we want to reveal to them that it's definitely possible to reduce your water usage in almost every way, like in your shower time, your dishes, your laundry time, you know, so on and so forth, almost every aspect of your life. And additionally, by involving them in various charity projects, we want to show really how critical of a problem water disparity globally is. And through a combination of these, we're hoping to inspire, you know, a lifestyle change and ensure that the user is conscious about how much water they're using and then carry on, you know, sustaining that change throughout the rest of their lives.
Being conscious of how much we use in just about any area of our life is always good. So,
Yeah, exactly.
So can you help us understand the financial implications for businesses in the city related to the cost of city water? For example, will cities see declining profits on the water that they provide to communities, or will businesses save money on water bills?
So cities and water suppliers will definitely be seeing reduction in their water costs. So if, I mean, just putting some numbers out there, if a city of 100,000 residents manages to reduce, you know, 50 gallons per resident, which isn't that much to reduce on a daily basis because we use a lot extra water than we usually need, you know, that's amounting to 5 million gallons for the entire city, which is a lot of water. And if you're looking at a city's water costs in terms of their infrastructure and things like that, almost 30% of a city's electricity cost just goes towards water treatment and water distribution. So there's, you know, when we're looking at reduction in that scope, like there's definitely going to be lots of savings all around. And currently we're in talks with government officials from Ann Arbor and local water suppliers to put an exact number on that and figure out, you know, how exactly are we going to be making an impact there.
Wow, that's really a lot of water. I mean, when you think about it, just a little bit from everybody and the huge, you know, that's just amazing.
Yep, when
so
the community gets together, you know, incredible things happen.
Absolutely. What type of financial impact would Purely have on consumers and their water bills?
So, I mean, as we all know, you know, we have a huge abundance of water in the Great Lakes area, and water is you know, is a subsidized resource, so it's very cheap for a person to buy. But so realistically, on a water bill, we're not going to be saving people that much money. But where we are going to be saving the money is going to be on their purchases at local businesses that we're partnering with, like restaurants, grocery shops, gas stations, services, you know, like movie theaters or haircuts, things like that. So currently with our partners, we've been working with them and hoping to gain more traction in Ann Arbor and the local area. And we're looking to save something like 10 to 15% off every purchase if they get the coupon to, after they reduce their water usage. So definitely they'd be saving money on their purchases, but not necessarily on their water bill.
And so your app would have them verify their savings in order to get the rewards, correct?
Their app, yeah, exactly. Yep. So we'll be tracking their water data and then give them a coupon based on how much they reduce.
Okay. So what about people with well water? Will Purely have any impact on those individuals?
As of now, unfortunately, no. So we're working with the city on using the data that they collect, and they only collect data for, you know, people with the water meter. So right now our population is limited to just that, but hopefully we'll be looking at how to, you know, involve people with well water really soon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, it sounds like you are going to be working really closely with residents, businesses, and then municipalities and utilities in order to achieve your goals. Would that be correct?
Yes, that is. As of now, we're going to be working more closely with the residents and businesses because, you know, it's, number one, it's an easier population to work with. You just have to talk to users. You have to talk to local businesses. And it's just easier to get them on board as compared to a city and utility where there's a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of, you know, procedures involved. But eventually, we want to be able to work more closely with the municipality and the utility. And the way to get there is to show them that you have a large pool of users that, you know, that have an idea and are interested in your product. Working with the municipality is going to be so much more effective because, one, they'd be they'd benefit greatly from everyone in the city reducing their water usage in terms of cost. It's just a larger proportion. And secondly, you know, when a city comes on board, you don't have one user or two users getting on board. It's, you know, a city of hundreds of thousands of users starting using your product automatically. So it's just easier to scale and easier to work with at that level.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that DTE and many utilities have something similar to your product where users can view their data and get feedback. What makes Purely different from those services?
Yeah, so DTE just recently released and is working on an app where you could see your usage, compare yourself with your community. But I think there are a couple areas where we're a little different. So the first is our incentive model, where residents get benefits for falling under certain averages, for living conservatively. This is hoping to, you know, inspire and maintain a lifestyle change. The second is our connection to a higher cause, where, you know, through our charity initiative, where people have shown great interest in that, and when, you know, we're going to be continue to champion that as one of our defining features.
Makes sense. Are there any privacy issues that might prevent the consumers from being willing to sign up?
Yeah. So as of now, we're working in Ann Arbor. And in Ann Arbor, the system is set up that when given a user's water account number, you can log into their data portal and see their water usage. So in many municipalities, you know, you have like a username and an account and a password. But in Ann Arbor, it's just your water bill number. And this is just to see their water usage. So when you log in, there's no credit card information because the bill payment portal is totally separate. So when we log in and when the user logs into the portal, we see the exact same data. So everything that we're working off of, they can already see. So we're really hoping to mitigate any concerns on privacy because there really isn't any private information there, you know, like credit card addresses, bill information, things like that.
Kind of fair. I mean, I wouldn't mind giving you that access.
But really, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying the challenge really comes in, you know, when we go to a different city and they have a different water billing system. How do we approach that? How do we take care of that? Because not everyone is as good and fair as Ann Arbor is.
Right. Well, that was kind of leading to my next question: is how are you going to keep the momentum going so that consumers want to continue to use the service? And then what are your plans for a Purely expansion?
Yeah, so as far as the momentum goes, there are a couple of things we're hoping to, you know, keep that going. One is the incentives and promotions. There have been a lot of studies done on how they can really encourage behavior change, and we want to provide promotions that users find worthy. So we're continually polling our users and asking them, you know, what type of promotions do you want to see? You know, where would you want to see promotions? And then we go out and get those for them so that they stick around. And secondly, a cool thing we're thinking of adding is like a leaderboard and trying to gamify the whole experience of who in our community of users, you know, is reducing the most gallons of water. And based on how you stack up in that leaderboard, again, there are going to be more incentives and more promotions that come your way because of how you place. So really hoping both those two work in conjunction to, encourage them to keep living an environmentally friendly lifestyle. And as far as expansion goes, so over the next few months, we want to be able to gain a good base in Ann Arbor. That means, you know, getting more users, getting more partners on board. And it's really convenient that Detroit and the local suburbs and Metro Detroit area have a very similar water billing system. So it's a natural progression for us to go there. And so for the past few weeks, we've been looking at some places and some restaurants and the businesses in the Midtown area where we can, you know, start expanding. So hopefully we'll be able to make that jump by the end of the year or early next year.
Wow, that's just amazing. So one of the things that comes to mind when we started this conversation, you talked about mm-hmm. getting together with your fellow students in December, coming up with an idea and looking at where you are now, 5 months later, the information that you've amassed, the app that you're actually creating, designing, all of that put together in 5 months. That's an incredible amount of progress in that short of a period of time.
Yes, thank you.
So another question that kind of comes to mind is, what about, so most of these people that you're targeting, they're going to be people who are, you know, they're going to be older, they're going to be people who, you know, maybe have a home, they have a vested interest in saving money or getting out there and doing discounts. Do you think some
yep.
of this will translate then to their children, like if they see their parents using an app and talking about water conservation, so that some of those conservation practices will be instilled in the children?
Yeah, definitely, because when you are looking at water usage, it's not something like, you know, an app like Facebook where you just log in and it's a personal portal where you're, you know, engaging with other users. It's a portal per house, right? So your water usage is measured as a house. So we're really hoping that this will, you know, bring everyone together in the household for a common cause. So it's not just the parents or the children who are, you know, individually participating in this, but as a group that they'll all be participating. So when one person starts to, you know, do something good, that habit will sort of lend itself to, you know, to everyone else in the house as well. So we're really hoping that it's going to be not something that the entire household and just everyone learns and grows throughout.
That's really exciting. So let's switch gears a minute and talk about the entrepreneurial experience. Have you found it more or less challenging to start Purity than you expected? And what, if anything, surprised you?
So I think to start off, it's been one of the most exciting and empowering things that I've ever done. It's definitely not easy at all. And when, you know, your friends are out there having fun, you and the rest of the team are stuck in a room working on a PowerPoint presentation or, you know, working on some code. But I think at the end of the day, that grind has been the most rewarding part of everything. You know, seeing something that an idea that you had and that you've been building from the ground up gain momentum, and, you know, a lot of people giving you sort of validation on how it's actually going to be making a difference. But in terms of being surprised, I was really surprised by how collaborative and how helpful everyone around really is. You know, in school and in a lot of classes, we often see or that we're taught that, you know, life is a race and all those kinds of things. But everyone we talk to is just so willing to help out, you know, share their experiences, share their knowledge, and just help us out. And that's really awesome and really great to see.
It is. And one of the nice things, too, is that you're being very open about it. A lot of times entrepreneurs are like, oh, I can't talk about my idea with anyone because, you know, someone might take my idea or something. But the reality is it's a lot of hard work to get all of the dots to connect. And, you know,
exactly.
if someone's going to do it, I mean, it's hard work.
Exactly. And, like, getting the idea is, I think, in many aspects, you know, the easy part in executing it is where the real challenge is. So by only sharing your idea, you're just getting help from other people, and they can shed light on areas that you might be missing, look at it from a different perspective, and you can only gain from doing that.
Absolutely. What do you think your biggest challenges are for growing the business?
So for an initiative like this, the data is what matters. And there's two parts to the problem. The first is approaching city officials. And, you know, like I said before, there's a lot of bureaucracy, and working with the city, it just takes time. Finding the right person in the right department and then convincing them that your issue is worth listening to is something we've encountered at every level. But it's really important you do that because they're the ones who have all the information and all the data that you need. Which brings me to the second part, which is, you know, getting the right data. There's just so many different kinds of data that a city and their water supplier generally collects about water systems, like how much water is a resident using, how much water is withdrawn from the lakes, from groundwater, you know, like different parameters on quality, on quantity, amount of wastewater treated, and the list just goes on. And you have to know what to get, what to use, because there's just so much out there. So actually at the ERIHAC competition, you know, a few weeks back, there were tons of people from the water industry and the some representatives from the Office of the Great Lakes, which is like a policy office around the area, were sitting right next to us, and they actually really liked our presentation and our idea a lot. So they called us in for a demo, which we're going to be doing later this month, and which is exciting because, you know, it solved both our problems at once. So we're really, you know, really excited to go there and then show them what we have right now.
Yeah, that's really exciting. You know, one of the other challenges that you have as well is that you're all students, you're all being pulled in different directions at the time. What do you see after you all maybe graduate or kind of move on? How cohesive as a team do you think that you'll be at that point?
Yeah, so I think one of the big factors propelling us forward is how, you know, we're attached to a higher cause. It's not just another app on the market, but there's potential for a lot of societal and, you know, institutional change that comes with this. So that's what's really keeping us motivated. And I really hope that, you know, we're still continuing to work on this. A couple of our team members have already graduated, and they're moving on, you know, to jobs, to grad school, et cetera. But, you know, we're really passionate about this, and we're hoping to stick around. And depending on how, you know, the next year goes in terms of progress, we're really hoping to, you know, potentially go into this full-time, see where it takes us, and just go from there.
That's so exciting to hear. So let's talk about the ERIHAC competition. How did you find out about it, and why did you decide to enter?
So we actually had no idea about this competition until one of our mentors alerted us. You know, he just sent us a link one day and said, hey, you guys should check it out. You know, seen something cool to do. And, you know, it was being hosted in Detroit for a lot of the competition levels. So, you know, it was right close by to us. We were like, okay, sure, let's go. And we're really glad that we did. We just met so many people. We learned so much there. And the entire competition, the environment was right down our alley.
Fantastic. What about the competition process? How was your firm evaluated?
So, yeah, there were a lot of things that went into the evaluation. So at every level, it was more of a combination of business development and technical development. So they were really looking at, like, the judges and the audiences were interested in the problem statement, you know, your customer discovery process, your business model, how you're making money, the potential scalability of your solution, and lastly, like, the details of how your solution works. So they were also really interested in, you know, what applications did you use, how did you develop it, like, your technology. So it was a combination of all of them, and ERIHAC was great to provide a lot of tools and data sets. So they were also judging you on how exactly you could utilize all the resources they provided.
Very nice. What was your impression of this experience?
It was absolutely fantastic. I mean, we learned so much through the process and met some incredible people in the water industry. There were, at every level, there were, you know, various talks and looking at the problems that the other teams were solving. Just, you know, gave us a lot of insight into the big pertinent problems in the water industry as of now. And, I mean, how the industry works, how people are approaching these problems, and just realized, you know, how tight-knit the entire water industry is. So we learned a lot through the experience, and we're definitely glad that we went through with it.
And so what was your perception? So before you entered, when you first had your idea, to now, what is your perception of the water industry?
My perception of the water industry? So, yeah, that's a really good question. The biggest thing is that one thing that's really cool at the events was everybody knew each other. You know, whether you're from D.C. or whether you're from, you know, Michigan, Texas, everybody just knew each other. And I think it's a very tight-knit industry because water is one of those things that is required, you know, essentially everywhere around the world for you to survive, for industry, for the economy to survive. And a lot of, a lot of places around the world are facing the exact same problems. So I think it's a very collaborative industry where people are coming together to solve similar problems in different situations, and everyone is being innovative around it. And one of the big things that somebody said in a talk that we really took away was they're some of the most innovative people around because, you know, when your electricity goes off, you can survive for a couple of days. But when your water main breaks, I mean, the entire city's backbone, you know, is about to crash and you have very little time to fix it. There's a clock countdown and it's a very old system. So you need to figure out the manuals, you know, who did this, what happened, how did this happen, how do I fix it, and how can I do it as fast as I can? So people are always on their toes, always trying to solve problems in very innovative ways. So it was something I didn't know about before, and it was just really great to see that.
Very well said. And one thing that I'd like to just kind of reiterate about what you said, everyone has this problem, and by people getting together and talking about it and sharing their information, once you fix an issue or once you create a solution in one area, that area then can be used in other areas or adapted or may spur other ideas to fix other areas. And that's simply what we need today.
Exactly.
So if you can give a piece of advice to others entering hacking competitions, what would it be?
Just go. You know, it sounds really scary at first, really scary. And I was in that exact same boat. In general, you know, when you like look up a hackathon and see his description, it sounds really intimidating and people, and you think that you need to have, you know, tons of experience and need to be a great technical developer to go there. But, you know, like the environment there is just so phenomenal and it's meant for people at all levels. So, you know, everyone's willing to help out. There's other teams who, you know, what you need to know, and they just help you, you know, get there. There's great, you know, teams, there's great problem statements to learn from. There's qualified mentors from the sponsors and people who are running it to teach you. And, you know, like food's provided, you get a free shirt out of it. So I say just go, and you just learn so much while you're at it. So it's a great time.
Spoken like a true student, free food and a free shirt.
Exactly.
Is there any final information you'd like to share with us about water conservation or the ERIAC competition?
I mean, I just I think the last few months, you know, working on Purely has been a great experience. So I just want to say thanks to everyone who helped us out along the way, like my team. We really want to thank our families, our friends, our mentors, of course. And it's just been, you know, it's been quite the ride, and we're really looking to take this forward to the next level.
Wonderful. You know, one thing we didn't do, and I just realized it, do you want to mention who the other team members are?
Yeah,
by name?
For sure.
I mean, we know who you are, but.
Yeah, so the other team members, you know, there's Rushil Bakshi, who's a senior studying chemical engineering at Michigan. Neil Dev, he just graduated. He's a senior studied nuclear engineering. And Chandru Rasendran, who's, you know, he just also graduated, and he's a senior who studied chemical engineering at Michigan.
And you're studying what type of engineering?
I'm studying computer engineering, and I'm yet to graduate.
Very nice. So, Rohan, I would love to congratulate you and your team on the creation of Purely. It's really exciting to hear about the ideas created in the hackathons and follow their progress. Wishing you all the best, and thank you for joining us today and sharing your story.
Thank you very much. I had a great time. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Good luck to you. We look forward to following your story.
Yep, thank you. Take care.
You too. Need a speaker for an event? MSAM provides excellent resources for businesses and individuals in the mobile wireless space. For more information about the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan or upcoming events, please visit our website at gomobilemichigan.org or follow us on Facebook or Twitter at GoMobileMI. Thanks so much for listening, and make it a fantastic week.